Pop the we might say the meanest things. Pop the sometimes we're not much company. There's no rearranging, our writing remains the same. We remain the same. And as far as we're concerned, Pop the you belong to us. Pop the
hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 10 of the Pop Dose podcast. I'm Dave Lifton, coming at you 3 weeks after the last one. We're trying to get back on schedule after that long delay in getting May's show out to you. So now it seems like we're only 1 week behind. And by we, of course, as always, I'm referring to my co-hosts, Jeff Giles and Jason Hare. Gentlemen.
Greetings, fuckers. What is happening?
How formal. How formal of you.
I'm wearing a dinner jacket for today's show.
That's nice. I'm in my boxers. Dave, what are you wearing? Be honest.
Just a smile.
You grumpy motherfucker. You're not wearing a smile.
That's true. I never smile. In the words of Bob Dylan, in 14 months, I've only smiled once and I didn't do it consciously.
So what are you wearing?
Just a frown.
So you're recording this podcast completely naked?
Why is that a surprise to you?
I just didn't know. I'm just, you know, there goes our listenership. But
I think I have to go.
And by go, you mean go take off your clothes.
But vomit.
I'm wearing my dinner jacket in honor of the fact that yesterday I talked to Dominic Miller, Sting's guitarist, on the occasion of the Symphonicities tour.
That guy owes my mother $50.
He does, doesn't he? That's right. We found out that he's been with her also. I didn't know he stiffed her, though. I would have said something.
Oh, he stiffed her all right. So how was your chat with Dominic Miller?
He was funny. I'll give you a preview. I asked him. He referred to this whole, you know, the concept that Sting is hitting the road with a 45-piece orchestra.
Yes, I can't wait.
Yeah,
I think it was you who said he's found no other way to completely alienate his audience.
Yeah, right. So yeah, he's taking his greatest hits on the road with an orchestra, and Dominic Miller referred to this whole thing as I think he called it an artistic risk or something like that. And
right, because the Loot album was so commercially viable.
Yeah, and so I said, you know, it's interesting that you say it's a risk, because the easy way of looking at this is that it's just, you know, it's another part of this whole phase in his career where he's done the Police reunion and the Loot record and a Christmas album, and he just seems to be kind of treading water or whatever. And so the obvious question is, why rehash these hits one more time? And his answer was, it's the same reason that a dog licks his balls.
Yep.
Which I thought was a pretty forthright answer.
Well, his audience is getting older.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's got to be people that would like to, you know, be like, I would like a night out to go to, I don't know, Tanglewood or wherever. And
the tour kicked off in Vancouver on Wednesday, and I read a review. One of the people that was there said basically exactly what you just said. You know, I'm at an age now where I don't necessarily want rock and roll anymore.
Oh.
I don't want rock and roll anymore. Thankfully, there is Sting.
Yeah. With the orchestra. I have to say, though, I listened to the orchestral reworking, or whatever you want to call it, of Every Little Thing, and I didn't hate it.
That's the one song that I felt like could be served well by an orchestra.
Dominic Miller would disagree with you. He thought it was a pretty poor and you know, too obvious choice. I guess
he is no longer working with Sting.
Sting said to him, look, you could either tour the world in five-star hotels with me, or you can go back to like being Carl Wallinger's little bitch. Which do you want? You could be my bitch or Carl Wallinger's bitch and do it for like absolutely no money.
That guy, he's got a pretty pretty sweet thing going on, because part of the reason I was interviewing him was he has a new jazz record out, and as he put it, you know, part of the time he's traveling around Eastern Europe in a van on bumpy roads with his buddies, and then, you know, the other part of the time he's in what he called the Sting bubble, staying in those five-star hotels. So he gets to have it both ways, so more power to him.
Yeah.
Dave's mom gets to have it both ways. Sorry.
Why are you apologizing?
Well, because I interrupted Jeff to get in my immature mother comment.
You weren't apologizing for, like, the crack about my mother.
No, no, I wasn't apologizing about your mother's crack.
She should apologize for it. God damn.
I went on a cycling trip yesterday morning with a whole bunch of people, and I hate to say this, but one of the new people to the trip, this girl, wore her bike shorts, and you know you don't wear underwear under your bike shorts, but her bike shorts were kind of sheer in the back.
Continue.
So, yeah. So, I mean, she just, the poor girl had no idea that anybody behind her was just looking directly at her ass. Just felt bad.
You didn't feel bad enough to tell her, though, did you?
No, and Jess was on the ride. Jess is the kind of person that probably would have told her, but we wound up getting separated from the pack, so it didn't happen. I mean, Jessica would have just been like, listen, I don't know, maybe she wouldn't have. Usually she would, but... You know, once you tell her that, she's got to ride the rest of the ride knowing that everyone behind her is like, I can see your ass crack.
How was her ass?
Not great. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been like, somebody should tell her something. No, I would have been like, I got to follow her for all the other rides.
Well, all you got to do is go ahead and move ahead of, you know, jump ahead of her.
That's true.
You don't have to deal with it. That's what I would have done.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was on the Memorial Day weekend in Chicago, they do something called Bike the Drive. I told you guys about this.
Yeah.
Where they close down early morning between like 5:30 and 10:30 Lakeshore Drive. And it's a big fundraiser for the Active Transportation Alliance. And, you know, it's like $45 or something. And, you know, they have – you just bike, you know, the prettiest stretch of urban highway in the country. And there was this one person at one point. I passed somebody four times. The same person, I recognized her four times. I never once saw her pass me. It was just weird. It seemed like
very strange.
You know, like, you know how you go in different, you know, sometimes you go different speeds. You speed up, you slow down, mm-hmm. or whatever. You know, just like in terms of your pace. And I never once saw this person pass me during the ride. But like, I kept on passing her. It was just very weird.
Have you even stopped to consider that maybe she is one of a set of quadruplets? You didn't even think of that. You didn't even think about that.
There would have had to have been identical tattoos on her leg.
Well?
On all four of their legs.
You some know, quadruplets like, do that, if they're in porn.
She could have been Maori or something, you know, part of a Maori set of quadruplets that had migrated to Chicago.
Oh, I thought you said she could have been Mallory from, I was thinking of Family Ties.
Of course you were.
I've been watching, I have some old episodes of Family Ties on my iPod. Now that I've gotten...
You had to buy those.
No, I didn't buy them.
Okay.
I got them from some illicit source, but I transferred them to my iPod.
He didn't buy them. He spent 6 hours tracking them down on some torrent site.
That's fun. I think that's fun. That show has not held up as well as I wanted it to.
No, I've come to the conclusion that most family sitcoms...
Of that era.
Of any era. Really don't age well. You know, like Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best, those shows might have like been right for their times and captured the moment, but you know, 10 years later it was, you look back and it's like, what the hell? I mean, Happy Days hasn't aged well at all.
I don't know, I suppose it depends. I feel like when you watch old shows like that, you can kind of let yourself fall back into that age, or at least I can let myself fall back into that age and that style. But the 80s three-camera studio audience / laugh track style is really difficult for me to get back into because the comedy is just so forced.
Right.
It's broad. It's too broad.
And it is very much, you know, like, I think we had talked about this as well. It's like, for me,
yeah,
Arrested Development was the end.
Yeah, I was talking about this yesterday with somebody.
It's like, okay, I mean, Seinfeld was... Probably the, but Seinfeld was, in terms of its structure, and different from every other sitcom that had been before it.
Right.
But like, I remember when watching the DVDs of News Radio, which is a show that I think that still holds up pretty well after 15 years or so.
Yeah.
Paul Simms, the creator, he was like talking in the commentaries. He was talking about how much he hated writing those scenes where they were working while eating lunch around the big conference table. because, you know, it became about the fake can of Coke. You know, you couldn't concentrate on the joke because your eyes were always drawn to the fact that that's not a real can of Coke.
Ah.
You know, and I think that that's kind of like what the three-camera Studio One and sitcom is. You know, when you see them go to a restaurant, that doesn't look like a restaurant. It looks like a set looking like a restaurant.
Right. There's always one wall you will never see.
Right. And, or, you know, like the line about the apartment in Friends.
Which was?
How do these two people that don't make a lot of money have this huge apartment in New York City? You know?
Right.
Didn't they write rent control into that?
Yeah, it was Monica's grandmother's apartment and it was rent controlled. But still, you don't find an apartment like that in New York City.
Right.
That would be rent controlled.
Yeah. There was another show that came on a couple of years ago called Three Kings, I think. Maybe Three Kings, Four Kings. I don't know. Seth Green was in it. And right. Man, that was a waste of a season of watching for me. But it was another one of those sitcoms where, like, the three or four buddies got themselves an apartment in New York City. And it was fucking gigantic. And it's like, we're not going to tolerate this kind of sitcom anymore.
Yeah.
But back in the 80s, you just completely accepted it. I want somebody to do a compilation of all the awkward lines that they gave Tina Yothers as Jennifer to get her out of the room. You know, like, when she had to... they never really gave her many storylines. But when, like, you know, they needed her to leave so they could have a conversation between the real main characters, you know, Alex and whoever else, they would always give her some lame line to say, and then she would leave. And I would love to get a compilation of all of those...
I think you should do it.
Yeah, I have the time. I'll do it.
You know, it's funny. Earlier today, I had just referenced the Saturday Night Live sketch where they parodied Family Ties, and Victoria Jackson was the Tina Yothers character, and her only line was, "Yeah."
Oh, I remember that.
Every time, like, they had it, like, they needed to give her a line, you know, they would just, like, focus on her, and she'd just say, "Yeah," and just, like, nod her head a little bit. It was great.
And then they gave her a band.
That's right. Alex was the manager.
And everybody missed the days when all she said was, "Yeah."
Yeah, I had stopped watching by that point. I was in college.
Oh, I watched it. I watched it up to the end. That was my favorite sitcom when I was a kid.
I remember watching the last episode, but I don't remember Tina Yothers' band or any of that stuff.
The last episode was bad.
You know, some friends were talking about this a while ago, with like the Lost finale and just like season, you know, series finales in general, and how few of them are actually good. And I think nobody ever comes up with, well, why is that? How come, you know, you always make like an event of the last episode of something ever? And there have really only been like maybe five that were good. The last Mary Tyler Moore, the final New Heart, you know, MASH's was an entirely different beast altogether, but it just summed everything up really beautifully. And, you know, probably a few more. And I think the reason is that if the shows were still really good, the ratings would still be high. And there would be no reason to end it. You know, usually shows end, you know, writers come and go with different series. You know, like if you're a head writer and a showrunner, there's a good chance on a successful show, there's a good chance that you'll be able to parlay that into your own series.
Something else. Right, sure.
You know, and so that person leaves. I mean, look at what happened to The Office when Greg Daniels left to do Parks and Recreation. It's just The Office just isn't as good as it was in those first few years because the main guiding force hasn't been around it.
How many years was Family Ties on? 7, 8?
Something around there, yeah, I'm not sure.
That's a lot of history that you got to sum up in an hour or half an hour or whatever.
Yeah, and you've got to tie up all of the issues and stuff.
That's like a lot of responsibility for one little chunk of television.
I felt like the problem with that episode in particular was that, you know, it was clear from the third season onward that Michael J. Fox was going to be the center, the lead of the show. And that was fine because he was good enough to carry the entire thing. And I think I'm watching season 3 now. Season 2 is sort of abysmal, but season 3, he starts to really come into his own in terms of confidence. And somehow, what are you fucking laughing at?
It's just funny to me. You're really putting some real analysis behind this.
I love Michael J. Fox.
I think I reviewed the season 3 DVD set. Is that the one where he's at the suicide prevention center?
If it is, I haven't gotten to that episode yet.
All right.
I didn't read your review.
That's
and I won't now. And I will not now. But he starts to really get a sense of the comedic timing, and he gets really comfortable on that set. And he's the only thing that really brings a little bit of...
energy?
Yeah, I don't know. Energy. He's the only thing that feels right in
natural.
That show. Yeah, mm-hmm. sort of. But then the last episode was focused on just him and Meredith Baxter, Bernie Baxter. And she, it was pretty much just based on the two of them and her acting kind of petulant, and I didn't care for that episode very much.
You know, I think yesterday I got in the mail season 4 of Mad About You. I should send that to you. I wasn't sure what I was going to do with it, but I think that you are probably the only person I know who would appreciate it. So
I didn't watch Mad About You.
I'll send it to you along with season 3 of Mr. Ed came in the same.
That I will watch. Because your mom was in that.
She was Mr. Ed's ass.
She was his lower lip that moved.
So Jeff, what's going on with you?
What's going on with me? I'm in New Hampshire, man. There's nothing going on with me. It's firefly season. There's big excitement.
Wow.
I'm looking at trees.
Great. You've got to eat a lot of jelly to catch them, so you'll have jars to catch them.
You know, everything I read says that they're kind of going away, and so I won't let my kids do that.
Fireflies are becoming extinct?
Well, yeah, I think they're very sensitive to pollution.
Which is why they're all in New Hampshire right now, because there is no pollution.
Yeah, exactly.
This one goes out to all our hipster fans. Thank you for listening to Popo's, you suckers, now fuck off.
Did your girlfriend make you go see Sex and the City 2, Dave?
No, she did not. She was trying to get me to do it. She went to see it.
She, whoa, shit.
Damn. A friend, they went to see it ironically. Her and a friend was in town last
Are
week.
Are you sure?
Yes, because they completely hated it. She felt bad for the creators of the movie almost, because like...
Oh, don't feel bad for them.
Well, I mean, it was a packed movie house, you know, loaded with people who loved the show,
uh-huh.
you know, like, you know, the devoted fan base of the show. And there was just scattering of laughter in a couple of places. It was really so much watching a train wreck for her.
I heard about that. I heard about there being random laughter at points and people yelling back at the screen. There's a question where Carrie asks if she's just some kind of self-absorbed bitch or something like that, and people are screaming
yeah,
back yes.
Yeah, the guy from Salon wrote about that in his review.
Oh, okay, maybe that's where I read it.
He said I could hear all four of the straight men in the audience being audibly restrained from answering her.
I was reading Ebert's review where he said that at that question, people at the screening were screaming yes.
How come nobody told you this years ago?
Well, don't feel bad for them, because those movies are critic proof.
Oh yeah, definitely. She didn't mean like that, like, but just
for them artistically.
Yeah, for the fact that you know, how much work will they ever get again?
How much work will they ever get again?
Yeah,
tons of work they will get again, because they made so much money.
I don't know.
If we're talking integrity, I mean, okay, how much like, you know, integrity based work? I mean,
right.
He's not going to be doing like a Hurt Locker type movie, but you know, what I just can't get over is 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
2.5 hours. What?
Great, thanks, Jason. You know, you've now got us talking about Sex and the City on this movie on the podcast.
Yeah, the reviews for that movie were about as bad as the reviews for Marmaduke.
Marmaduke reviews were that bad?
Oh yeah.
Did they get anything as bad as the Lindy West review?
The what review?
The review by Lindy West in The Stranger, the Seattle Alternative Weekly, the one where she basically said, if this is what female liberation and empowerment is like, then please sew up all my holes.
I didn't read that one.
See that? That was like the first of the really, really savage reviews to come out.
I saw that Rex Reed, his review was fabulously bitchy.
Shocking.
Said something about, yeah, I know, right? But he said something like, the number 2 in the title is the most appropriate thing about the movie, or something like that.
Yes, I read that. That's very funny. What was the last movie you guys went to?
Oh, my God.
Jeff's like, E.T.
Duck Soup.
It's been a while, man.
Duck soup. Nice. Oh, I can't believe you beat Jeff to that punch.
Yeah. I figured I had to.
Duck soup. Birth of a Nation.
That's what I would have said. Birth of a Nation.
Actually, the last movie that I went to was a...
Metropolis.
No, there right? was a... There's a theater that shows old movies once a week here. And my girlfriend and I went to see My Little Chickadee with W.C. Fields and Mae West.
Huh.
So well, technically that was the last movie that
yeah.
I went to.
Okay.
But I think the last one I saw in the theater was Up in the Air.
All right.
I don't go to movies much.
Yeah, me neither. I think the last thing I saw was maybe Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, I just watched that. Terrible.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. I took the kid that I mentor to see it.
Did he talk to you again after that?
Oh, he was fine. He liked it.
Did you speak to him again after that? Because that movie sucked.
Shit was popping out of the screen. I mean, what more do you need
yeah.
when you're 13?
Isn't there something kind of awesome about a guy who looked like Conrad Bain when he was younger, mentoring an inner-city youth?
My kid is wonderful, and I am a good mentor to him.
I saw you took him to sushi the other day.
I did take him to sushi. I did take him to sushi. He said, every bite tastes like heaven, which is what I said about Jeff's mom. He was very happy with sushi, and I'll take him to a Mets game this summer.
Don't take him with Pete.
Don't take him with Pete.
Yeah. Who's Pete?
He's saying Pete Townsend.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm saying Pete Oberg, dummy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought you were saying Pete Townsend.
No.
That's right, because Pete Oberg, our friend from Concert Vault, sent a photo of Shea Stadium or Citi Field saying, I'm drunk and stoned.
Yeah, the stadium was empty. The game hasn't, like, nearly begun. You could see batting practice going on in the field, and he's like, I'm drunk and stoned.
That's <Uh-oh>. Awesome.
And then, like, a bunch of hours later, like, well after the game, he's like, I'm drunk and still stoned.
I wonder if he got stoned at the Mets game. That seems like that's a pretty big risk.
I wrote back that's, like, the only way to watch the Mets.
Yes, I saw that.
Oh, don't get so indignant about me.
I know. Like something I care about baseball.
Yeah.
How dare you?
How dare I insult a team that has two championships and 27 uniforms?
How dare you insult the only baseball team that Jason's ever watched?
That's true.
They're not a baseball team. They're a consolation prize.
I can't say the last Mets game I went to where – I only go to one a season, but I can't say the last one I went to where they actually won the game. I mean, they do win games, but I just never get to go to those games for whatever reason.
Right. The last Mets game I went to where they won was in 1983. It was also the last time I went to a Mets game.
Wow. 1983.
That was on Lifton's third trip through the minors.
Did you get the senior citizen seats?
Bull Durham was based on Dave Lifton's life.
Yes, I was Annie Savoy.
I thought A League of Their Own was based on Dave Lifton's life. He was the Rosie O'Donnell character.
This broadcast is probably endorsed by 5-time Grammy Award winner Michael McDonald.
So you guys got any big summer plans? I mean, apart from Jason being a mentor and going to an occasional Mets game.
What you got going on, Jeff?
What am I going to do? I'm going to California for 2 weeks. My brother's getting married. My little brother.
Damn.
And I'm already making all kinds of plans to ruin it for him.
Well, you could do that in one shot. Do you get to make the speech? Are you the best man?
I do, and I'm going to... I'm going to print up a certificate of ownership and have it framed, and I'm going to present it to his wife during the speech.
Suggesting that she owns him?
Yeah, I'm going to have our parents sign it.
Transference of title.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
And then we're my other brother and I are trying to come up with a list of bizarre things to have delivered to the honeymoon suite before the wedding. Like, you know, actually, if you guys want to
poo,
give me any suggestions.
Poo.
Who? Well, poop.
Poop.
We're thinking stuff like...
Jason's not suggesting that poop be delivered. It's actually his Tourette's kicking in.
Dave's an asshole.
And then after they leave the reception, we're going to wait about half an hour, 45 minutes, then have a singing telegram sent to the honeymoon suite.
That's great. See if you can get this, the singing telegram to be like some old man.
I want it to be somebody in a gorilla suit, but I don't know if they'll do that.
Oh, you can do gorilla suit. Perfect. You can definitely get gorilla suit.
Perfect.
In August in California? God, that's got to suck.
This is all in lieu of an actual gift, right?
Absolutely.
This is a great idea.
Thanks.
I wish I had known you when I got married.
I am so not inviting you to my wedding.
Yes.
I'm not even telling him.
Jeff, you would have fucked my wedding up. I truly believe you would have fucked my wedding up.
That's so harsh.
No, I think you would have come up with some really good, inappropriate stuff.
See, Jason, this is what you got to do. As soon as you got to have a plant to nullify Jeff at a wedding, you've got to have somebody who, the second that he steps into the room, give him a bottle of bourbon that's laced with something to knock him out.
Tryptophan or something.
Because you know he's never going to refuse bourbon.
Right. Stick some Benadryls in there.
Exactly.
An Ambien. Oh, I think Jeff on Ambien would be dangerous.
maybe some heroin and also in there, you know, and just for fun, some roofies.
Wow. Well, I can already have my way with him.
That's right.
I don't need the roofies.
I'll just turn this into a real life get him to the Greek. Well, Jason does a pretty good job of talking me out of doing horrible things that I want to do. So as long as you invite him and me to your wedding, then...
Well, what other things have I tried to talk you out of doing? Horrible things?
Doing a You Again column on the Dan Fogelberg record.
That didn't work.
Well, because Dave told me that you were a pussy and that I shouldn't listen to you.
And you wound up being right anyway, because...
That's right. So the moral of the story is, when I want to do something messed up, you got to let me do it, because I'm usually right.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I've been like, no, you can't do that.
I'm sure there has.
I definitely wasn't sure about you when you came to that barbecue and you wore the shirt of the two unicorns fucking.
It was a hit.
I was thinking of all the parents that were at this barbecue, and I was like, ugh.
What's more beautiful than two unicorns having sex?
Oh, underneath a rainbow.
Yeah, exactly. One of the, for my birthday, Jason got me a $50 threadless gift certificate, and one of the shirts I got is a cartoon of a teddy bear sneaking up behind another teddy bear, holding a pillow, getting ready to smother him to death. With this really evil look on his face. And I wish you could have seen the look on my daughter's face the first time I wore it. She didn't say anything to me. She didn't ask me about it. She just kind of paused. And had this... She just got this look. And then she kept walking.
That's right. Since our last podcast, both of us have had birthdays.
Wow.
What did you get for your birthday, Jason?
I got almost all biking stuff. I got, like, new bike shorts and shirts to wear and new gloves, and I got a CO2 inflator and a bunch of CO2 cartridges and a new hand pump.
Is that for your bike or your penis?
It can use for both things. Okay. Although CO2, as I found out the hard way, is really, really cold when you inflate it. So don't put that on your balls.
Okay. You keep biking this much and your balls are going to be worthless anyway. You're going to need nudicles for your next birthday.
Nudicles? There's a guy I bike with who his bike seat is just two foam pads for like your ass, and there's nothing in the front at all because he's truly afraid of that. As well as I think you should be. I think it's
yeah, he should be.
Something to be concerned about. But I got pretty much all I got everything I asked for, which is pretty much just bike stuff. And Jeff got me a gift certificate for the sporting goods store in the city, the big sporting goods store, which I'm going to use shortly to maybe buy some aero bars for my bike. This is a ridiculous summer because I got this triathlon. It's a little bit more than a month, so pretty much all the stuff I wanted was just related to that.
And you also got a haircut.
I did.
That's right. Why? That's right. We did see that picture. You decided to go for the clean look. Why?
I shaved my head because a friend of mine was going to make a donation, but wanted me to do something ridiculous for the donation. And so we were talking. I think I had said to him at some point that if I didn't reach my fundraising minimum, Jessica and I had to raise $2,700 each for this triathlon, so $5,400. And I said that if I didn't raise the money by the time we had our benefit concert, which was pretty much on my birthday, I was going to shave my head. And he was like, "I'll give you a big donation if you shave your head." And so I got him to. In order to do it, I got him to pledge to not only make a good donation this year, but to make a donation next year if I do it again with this awesome. with this thing. And his company matches, so his donation was doubled. So I made a pretty good amount of money just to shave my head. And so I did it at the – we had a benefit concert on the 15th, and I did it at the show. I was playing in Acoustic 80s was band 1, and my other band, Evil Prince Ludwig, was band 3. And during band 2, my mother-in-law and one of my triathlon buddies took the razors, the clippers to my head. And I surprised myself that I like it. So I'm going to keep it short all summer.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun thing to do, and it was fun to kind of do it like trial by fire in front of everybody I know. So it was like, if it looked bad, everyone was going to, you know, if it looked bad, it was going to look bad. So at least everyone got to see it at the same time I did.
I thought about doing it a while ago because I'm kind of salt and pepper right now. Uh-huh. and not in a one of man kind of way.
Nice.
I was expecting you to jump in there immediately with that one.
With what a man?
with the salt and pepper reference.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't catch it. Sorry. It
was a slow. I'm busy looking up nudicle prices.
You really are, aren't you?
Gotta plan ahead for your next birthday.
But I'm just like, no, I couldn't do that. I just don't think I have the shape of face for that. It's too ovular.
It's definitely, I thought when I was a baby I had an egghead. So I was convinced that my head had not grown in any way but, like, upwards, and that I was going to look really awful. But, you know, for the charity thing, I couldn't really turn it down. So, but it turned out that my head actually grew into a rounder shape, and I don't know, I don't think everybody likes it. I think my mother would be much happier if I had it.
I wanted to
ask
her.
Your mom seems to like it. Oh, sorry. Sorry, beat you to it. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say something about your, you know, like I can just, like, imagine your mom coming, Jason, I can't believe you did that. You know,
my mom actually isn't.
Why
Jewish.
Would you do that? She's not.
Well, I guess technically she's Jewish, but she was actually raised Catholic. Okay. She's not like a Jewish kvetchy mother, but she was definitely concerned, and she definitely looked very nervous as I was doing it. I think she was relieved, and Jessica says she likes it. So,
see, hearing that, like. Your mother wasn't isn't a kvetchy Jewish mom. Just like completely changes my entire perception of her. Perception.
You blew Dave's mind.
That's not all she blew.
I figured that was coming. That's why I didn't say anything. I was like, Dave will definitely catch that one.
So when I get you the nudicles, do you want original, natural, ultra plus, or ultra plus with epididymis?
Your mother says that the Ultra Plus feel the best in her mouth, so I would go with those. She uses those as like it's like Nicorette for her.
These things are $1,300 a pair.
Are they really?
Well, that's for the extra extra large.
Not necessary. Not necessary. Do they have a junior size?
They have extra extra small, but those are $1,150 for the pair. So you know.
That's it for. $1,150 for an extra $150, you could go extra large, dude.
Exactly.
All things considered. Besides, what would be funnier than me walking around with like a set of balls that were like way too big for my body? Are they the size of like grapefruits?
Go to nudicles.com.
No. I won't.
But there will. There have to be a link to them in the show notes, though.
They're like, let's see. They're about 1.8 inches long, according to this thing that I'm looking at here.
Can we get a nudicle with the Popto's pill on it? That'll be our
Popto's
first...
Popto's branded nudicles.
Our first venture into merchandising would be Popto's brand nudicles.
A real hot seller. Imagine the dog autopsy that ends with the doctor going, what the hell?
Roger, is it just me, or does your German Shepherd's balls look like pills? Oh, yeah, those are Popto's brand nudicles. It's my dog's favorite pop culture website. When you lick these, think of Popto's. I thought that was funny. Fuck you guys.
I'm laughing.
Okay. I just typed in nudicles, and I had this fear that I was going to type in nudicles, and my, you know, the autocomplete bar was going to already have it in there, and I was going to be like, shit, I've been to this site before.
Do you guys listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me?
Occasionally. I haven't listened in a while.
On yesterday's show, you know, like how in the lightning rounds, like the fifth and the eighth questions are always kind of
ridiculous.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, apparently the eighth question was an old British guy was filling out a crossword puzzle, and he was using Google to help him, and he typed in the name, you know, the actual clue. To get the answer to it because he didn't know it, and the actual clue was wild Asian ass. They were looking for like some donkey that's the type of some donkey that's endemic to Asia. He typed in wild Asian ass into Google.
Safe search on.
You know what, Jeff? I'm on the site now. Just buy me one. Because I see it's like 300 for a pair.
Yeah.
200 for one. So just buy me one.
Just one lonely nudicle.
That's a song title, isn't it?
I think Alan O'Day wrote that song.
I thought that was a song on Stevie Wonder's Christmas album, One Lonely Nudicle.
Hanging from the...
I get it for you, and Jess can put it in a jar and keep it on her nightstand.
Oh, I love that song. I love that song by Fish, Nudicle in a Jar.
Don't give those fuckers any ideas.
I like the idea of walking around with a nudicle. Just handing it to people. Years ago, I was walking on the street, and somebody was giving out free condoms, so I put one in my jacket pocket, and then for months... I would try and slip it into Jessica's pocket of her jacket while we were waiting for the bus. Or, like, I'd be like, hey, high five, and she'd go and give me a high five, and I'd have the condom in my, you know, and they're still in the wrapper, obviously, in my hand. And it wound up being a thing, like, whenever I was wearing that jacket, like, if I'd go to grab her or whatever, she'd be like, get away from me. She's like, you're trying to give me the condom. But it'd be great if I could start that with a nudicle.
Just take it out, like... What, you know, on occasions when a normal person would take out gum, you know, to offer somebody.
Nudicle?
You should get your wealthy friend to buy a bunch of these and use them as ice cubes.
Can't believe you'd buy me a nudicle before you'd buy me a talk box.
Well, you have to admit, nudicle is funnier.
Which one is more useful in my mouth is the question. A talk box?
Whoa.
Or a nudicle? Oh, did I... Oh, did I cross a line? My bad.
Isn't it actually Fleet Week right now?
I think it ended. Didn't it end?
No, I don't think it's Fleet Week anymore. I actually didn't see anybody in the city during Fleet Week. I didn't see any sailors, but I wasn't.
They were all at your mom's place.
They were all at my mom's house. That's right. I thought I made a good joke on Twitter about Fleet Week. It was something about Jeff's mom, but I can't remember what it was now.
I'm sure it was.
One of my favorite ever mother jokes was our friend Mindy had said something about on Twitter about getting a 2-for-1 coupon for something, and Jeff instantly responds with, "Hey, Jason's mom gives out 2-for-1 coupons during Fleet
Week." Well, Mindy chastised me. Yeah. She made me feel bad for a minute.
No.
She did. She,
great.
She was like, "You crossed the line."
Well, it's a good thing she didn't hear what I said about Jason's grandmother on in our Popdos email list.
What did you say about my grandmother? I can't remember.
What had happened was I had asked the guy who reviews podcasts for the Sound of Young America blog. The Sound of Young America is a great podcast, and to review the show, and he reviewed it, and he said, you know, for like that, you know, there are a lot of different shows, and how difficult it is for a show like ours to find an audience is difficult because there are so many shows where it's just two or three guys in their 20s and 30s who are just bullshitting about, you know, pop culture and stuff. He says, but one of the things that makes this one a little bit unique is that one of the, I think he said something, at least one of the members seems to be in his 40s, so it skews a little bit older. Now, keep in mind, I'm only 40. I'm not in my 40s, I'm 40.
Yeah, but when we start making jokes like Irving Berlin was your babysitter.
Right. Oh, yeah. No. That's hysterical, but it was just like, but, so I wrote back, you know, that was, the link was going around the Popdos staff, and I said something like, yeah, my only problem with it was that it referenced the fact that I'm in my 40s. And Scott Malkus, I think it was, said, "Damn, Dave, you're in your 40s? I thought you were much older than that. You're only 40? I thought you were older than that." And I said, what must have confused you is that Jason's mom keeps calling me daddy.
Right.
So then Jason responds, "You slept with my grandmother? That's gross." So my answer then was, "Nah, the only downside was when I smacked her ass and the lights came on."
Yes, that was hysterical. That was pretty damn awesome, I gotta say.
Not as awesome as your grandmother.
No, but that just went over the line. No, I'm just kidding.
My grandmother's dead, you jerk.
I should have been like, "Wait, which grandmother? which grandmother? My mom's side or my dad's side? Which one, Dave?"
It's on your dad's side.
She's dead. That's nice. That's what you chose poorly.
And now it's time for the endorsement section, where we each talk about something that has been on our mind that we've been listening to lately. And we're going to start with Jeff.
I'm going to endorse the upcoming Crowded House record, which I listened to for the first time in the car yesterday and thoroughly enjoyed.
That's cool, because I heard Saturday Sun, and I was a little upset by it.
Upset by it?
I just like him. I like him best when he's just being mid-tempo melancholy, and, you know, there's usually one cut that really tries to rock out or be maybe a little electronic or something, and those are the ones that have always fallen flat with me. And there was something about Saturday Sun that I didn't really like. I mean, it had the melody and stuff, but it just... sonically, it didn't really do much for me.
My beef with him and with Crowded House is that, you know, stupidly, every time they come out with something new, I hope for melodies that are as obvious as the stuff that they used to do, and it's never going to happen. But once I get over that disappointment, you know, their music is really quite lovely, and I was really happy when he got the band back together, because it seemed like he was doing it in the right spirit. You know, it wasn't for anything other than wanting to reconnect with some friends. And even though the first record they did when they got back together didn't do a whole lot for me outside of the single, I think the new one is an improvement.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing it. It's a Saturday sun, and the game is still on. Waiting is done, it's all about you. There's a calls out your name on a hill far away. He's looking down from above, it's all about to change. He's insane. Jason, your turn.
I'm going to endorse probably both this month and next month the new Guggenheim Grotto record called The Universe is Laughing. I don't believe it's out.
You motherfucker, you already have it?
I do. It's available on their website.
Why don't you... nobody told me.
Nobody likes you.
My bad.
That's right.
I apologize.
That's right. Nobody does like me.
I apologize. I'm gonna endorse it. The Universe is Laughing. I don't think it's available on iTunes yet. It's available from their website, guggenheimgrotto.com. And it's phenomenal. It's a great third album. The only bad thing about it is that it doesn't have anything as upbeat and happy as their previous album, Happy the Man. I guess that's appropriate. But it's a fantastic album. I love it. So go check it out.
Hear it on the tracks, it's coming. Put a glass against the wall, she's singing. She's putting on a dress to meet me. There's a whisper in the trees, a blowing, the promise of a new beginning. This could be why I've been waiting. This could be my second coming. I really should know better. I've been here before with my arms apart, like a maestro waiting for his show to start. Oh, be still, oh, be still, ruby heart. Oh, be still, oh, be still, ruby heart.
My turn, and the day this is going online, which is June 11th, it's the start of the biggest sporting event on the planet, the World Cup.
The what? I'm sorry?
Eat me. I'm a big soccer fan, and I've written about. I was an American soccer correspondent for a few years, and I will be covering the tournament for PopDos. This past week, I've written previews of all eight groups, and I'll have something up there pretty much every day about it over the course of the next month. And my favorite thing about the World Cup is that you see like all the different styles of play around the world, and how like their national stereotypes are manifest in their soccer, you know, like the
Mexican sleep on the field.
No, like the dazzling footwork of the Brazilians, or like, you know, the Germans, who are like ruthlessly efficient, and like hardworking South Koreans and stuff like that. You know, it's absolutely true. You know, it's fun. And like,
I love this.
Yeah, no, it is an absolute fact. When you see like how the Germans just don't make mistakes, and they're always exactly where they're supposed to be. It's great to watch. I'm not really seeing anything that's going to suggest that there's going to be a change in the balance of power in the game. At the same time, you've also got like a few newcomers like New Zealand and North Korea, and they're going to be absolutely awful. And the only two sports where I can watch really, really incompetent play is football and soccer. Like, I hate watching bad basketball. I hate watching bad hockey. But I just love watching like average teams beat the shit out of really bad teams in soccer and football, because their mistakes are so obvious, you know, like bad goalkeeping and stuff. I think it's going to be a really fun tournament, a good way to spend the next month.
And you opened a Yahoo group.
Yes, that's true. We do have a I have that in each of the previews that I'm working on.
All right. I hope you didn't suffer an allergy attack when you walked into the dusty old sports section of PopDos.
That's right. Hadn't been touched since the end of the football season, I guess.
Since Zach Dennis passed out in an alcohol-induced haze.
Well, it was fine because there was just more room at the bar for me.
That's right. We need a baseball writer.
Yeah, I could have the TV on, whatever I wanted, with the sound on.
That's right.
I could write about the food selection at Citi Field.
you should do an annual column, like My Mets Game by Jason Hill.
My Mets Game. The seats were uncomfortable.
Yeah, write about everything except for the game.
The crowd was really loud.
At one point, people started yelling, and I couldn't see what was happening. Some asshole spilled my lemonade.
I cried.
They didn't have spicy brown mustard for the just yellow mustard for the Hawaiian hot dog.
Oh, I would love that. I put that in the spotlight.
Yeah, I think we do need to maybe beef up the sports section of Popdos.
Now we just got to find writers.
Yeah.
You be the sports editor. Find us some writers.
All right, call for writers. Although if you're listening to this podcast, you probably already write for us.
Born to a throne, stronger than Rome, but violent prone, poor people's zone. But it's my home, all I have known, where I got grown, streets we would roam. Out of the darkness, I came the farthest, among the hardest survival. Learn from these streets, it can be bleak, accept no defeat, surrender, retreat. So we struggle in, fighting to eat, and we wonder in, when we'll be free. So we patiently wait for that fateful day. It's not far away. But for now we say, when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back. Oh.
Okay, and that's going to do it for this episode of the Popdos Podcast. Go to popdos.com every day for the latest pop culture news. Go to the show notes to leave a comment about your summer plans, and you'll also find links to everything we've discussed today, especially nudicles, as well as a link to the Facebook page for fans of the podcast. And if you are new to the show, you can find the previous nine episodes at iTunes. And as I say every month while there, please leave a review because it helps give the show greater exposure. Follow Popdos on Twitter over at twitter.com/Popdos. And we will be back next month. Jason and Jeff, what are we going to talk about for July?
Jesus Christ, we just finished this fucking show. Give me a few minutes to think about it. God damn it. I think Jeff said he wanted to talk about independence.
What does America mean to me?
Oh, no, please, let's not do that. Why don't we just give Jason's dad a fireworks stand and see what happens?
We'll think of something good. Or maybe we won't. We'll do another episode like this one. I'll think about it. I'll get back to you about it. you listening. Do you have an idea? Share it with us.
Put down your new ideas for topics in
the comments.
In the show notes as well.
We'll take them. Yeah. We'll ignore them. It's fine.
We'll talk about anything. We're not proud.
We're not proud.
That should be our motto. We're not proud.
We're not proud. ... Nudicle. Well, as always, a pleasure.
Yes, thanks for listening.
Pleasure was all yours.
I was saying to you guys, a pleasure to speak with you guys. A pleasure to speak to everybody who's listening. All four of you. It's been a pleasure to speak to you.
Last one out turns off the lights.
Wow, this is truly what happens when we don't have a topic.
Yeah, we have a good show.
Here's your title. Here's your title of the show. From Family Ties to Nudicles.
Or it could just be Nudicle with a question mark at the end.
Nudicle?
Anybody care for a nudicle?
Just drop it in someone's cocktail.
So Jason, that means you're gonna have to name your nudicle Ubu.
Drop Ubu, drop.
Woof!